The Pentagon is wrestling with how to develop the satellite communications capabilities it knows it will need in ever-increasing quantity, how to deliver those new capabilities quickly, and how to do it at a time when budgets are going to be declining. The current approach, according to Gil Klinger, the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Space and Intelligence, isn't working.
We have to recognize that our programs are too expensive, and there are too many of them in the pipeline. That is not a reflection of the value that they provide. Frankly, as I've said to my colleagues all along, if we could afford it, I'd buy 20 of each of them. That is not the issue. The issue is that's not the environment in which we're working.
DoD's last effort to build a high-bandwidth satellite constellation, known as the Transformational Satellite Communication System, or TSAT, spent 5 years in development before being canceled in 2009 for budget reasons. That was before the Pentagon developed its first-ever comprehensive strategy for space, and Klinger says it turns out TSAT ended up not meeting many of that strategy's objectives anyway. There's no current plan for another huge DoD-owned and operated constellation of satellites, and the Pentagon is rethinking how it will deliver SATCOM capabilities around the world. Leaders say the outcome will likely be a mix of both government-owned and commercial satellite services. Whatever that mix is, a second struggle is how to pay for it. Klinger told an industry audience at the MILCOM conference in Baltimore that the good news is the military and intelligence community rely on satellite communications for almost everything they do, but that's also the bad news.
You are unambiguously the dial tone for U.S. national security. And exactly like the dial tone on the telephone, you are taken for granted. Just as, I don't know about you, but when I pick up the headset of a landline, I don't pay any attention to whether the dial tone's there. The only time I do pay attention is when it's not there. And when it's not there, I have what the State Department would call a colorful excitation of a response.
To get to the objective, a high-bandwidth satellite capability that will keep up with the military's appetite for data transmission around the world, the Pentagon says it will likely lean to a large extent on commercial satellite capabilities. It's already been doing that to support operations in Iraq and Afghanistan, but Doug Lavero, the director of the Air Force's Space and Missile Systems Center, says it hasn't been doing it very cost-effectively. It's been buying commercial capacity on an as-needed basis on the spot market.
The innovation in commercial SATCOM is not in the service. It's in the deal that we will make. And the business deal we will make is where we need to concentrate our neurons in to try to figure out how to provide better commercial SATCOM service.
There are other options besides DoD owning and operating its own satellites or buying airtime from commercial providers. They're also exploring options such as hosting communications payloads on commercial satellites that are already going up to space for other purposes. But all those options implicate the way DoD's space community interacts with the space industry. Lavera says the traditional DoD acquisition process for large systems isn't going to work anymore.
That's not to say that we're going to throw out the rules. The rules protect us from buying things we don't need. So the rules are not the problem. It's our execution of the rules that I would contend are the problem. We don't need to go ahead and create a business deal where you must buy a satellite that takes 10 years to build. We can just as easily get approval for a business deal that allows us to go ahead and have payloads on the shelf or coming off an assembly line and hosting on satellites. And that business deal may be a $1 billion business deal over the next 10 years, but it still rapidly inserts new technology every time a payload goes up. The pace of technological change, and I would contend the pace of expectation on the warfighter, is not going to slow down. And we shouldn't ask it to slow down. If anything, we should ask it to accelerate. We should ask for the warfighter to demand the next best thing, because that's what he deserves, not the thing that I gave him or I created in my mind 10 years ago.
Lavera says the military is going to have to change the way it thinks about what it buys, taking the focus off of building spacecraft and putting it into delivering capability. He says there's a good analogy in the movie industry.
We think about differently how we buy movies today. We used to always buy movies by going and getting a videotape from Blockbuster, and I would contend if we hadn't changed the way we thought about it, that company would still be solvent, but it's not. We can't be the Blockbuster of tomorrow buying satellites that take 10 years to develop. We have to figure out how to think about buying new things in new ways, and then we can go ahead and hope to keep up with the expectation that the warfighter rightly has.
Klinger says DOD also needs to take responsibility for making its own acquisition decisions more quickly. He says if he were king for a day,
I'd set a rule inside the Defense Department that 90% of the issues in which that we had to engage in had to be decided in 30 days or less, rather than the lingering death of maybe, which appears to be a family specialty.
In Baltimore, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.